Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, check out our website at freechapel.org.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them with me real quick to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. What a beautiful thing God is doing here in Orange County. It's so good to be here tonight and get to worship with you. So thankful for our amazing team. Heard Pastor Ben preach the paint off the walls tonight, and or this morning, and I don't know how many 30 something saved in the services, and that's just a powerful thing, and we thank God for that. The morning services are just growing and getting more and more powerful every weekend. You're really missing something if you don't check out the morning service. As a matter of fact, next Sunday morning I'm going to be preaching. Next Sunday morning, is that right? Isn't that the back to school thing? If I'm not mistaken, I'm doing a video message next Sunday that I preach to our students, that I promise you, if you will get your students, teenagers, kids here Sunday morning, the 9 or 11 o'clock service, they're going to get a word that they will not forget. And then Sunday night, next Sunday night, Robert Madu, who is one of the most powerful in-demand speakers in the nation today, he's preaching every major conference. He was just with T.D. Jakes at his big thing and all this stuff that he's doing all over the world. He's going to be right here, Robert Madu, preaching in the 4 and the 6 o'clock service. And I promise you, this guy is highly anointed and called. Don't miss this next weekend. It's going to be powerful. And I want you to look with me now. We've been talking about, if you were here last Sunday, you heard the message with the shopping cart and all of that. Were you here? Okay, then you know that our choices, I'm trying to get across in this little series that we make our choices, but our choices make us. And it really matters, the choices you make. And tonight I want to talk about choosing your friends wisely, choosing your friends, your relationships, your partners in business, your romantic interest, choosing your friends. As our kids go back to school, one of the most critical things you will do is decide who's going to be in your circle, who's going to be in your clique, who's going to be in your life, and who's not. And what do we need to know about that concerning making wise choices in our friends and relationships? In Numbers chapter 32, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, indeed the region was a place for livestock. Meaning, one translation said, very green grass. As a matter of fact, if you keep reading, it'll actually say that in a few chapters before this when it was describing this very place. And so the children of Gad, the children of Reuben, came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and the congregation, saying, verse 5, therefore, they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to us for our inheritance or possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. And what they were really saying was, we don't want to cross over into the promised land. We are happy. Our livestock are getting fat because the grass is green on the other side. We are not interested in the inheritance, the land flowing with milk and honey. Two tribes, Reuben and Gad, there were 12 tribes, and two of them peeled off, got together, and when it was time, after 40 years of failure and wilderness, going around in circles, finally the moment came when God said, go across the Jordan. There's a land filled with dreams and promises that I have for you that's going to blow your minds. You're going to eat from vineyards you never planted. You're going to live in homes you never built. I'm going to cause the enemies before you. No man will be able to stand before you, and you're going to build a kingdom that'll be powerful, and it'll never end. And two of the tribes said, we don't want God. We want the green. We want the grass. The grass our animals are able to eat here. And it's really remarkable that they reach this point, and everybody does sooner or later, that it's greener as God. It could be the green of money. You can't serve two masters. It's not that you can't have great resources, but you can't let those resources manipulate and control you and make you feel like that you are more important and that you and your wealth give you some kind of special status with God. It does not. There is a spirit with money. The Bible calls it the spirit of mammon. And they said, if it's grass or God, we'll take God. And even as I look at this story, I can't help but think that when you see it, you see something that is really amazing. They had to choose what they were going to do. And I want to talk to you about choosing your friends wisely. Everybody has to have a God. It may be money, it may be hunting, it may be golf, it may be gambling, it may be whatever it is, but you're going to have and serve a God. The children of Reuben had very much cattle, and they said, our cattle get good grass here, and we don't want to separate. We're happy where we are. Total lack of consecration. They chose the grass over the best that God had for them, and they began to live on the border of the promise. Now, and I'm going real slow, but I promise I know where I'm going, so just take it easy. I want you to see what the Bible says about these two tribes real quick, and this is going to come together, and it's going to make a lot of sense to you. So Genesis 49, if you've got your Bible, turn there. Genesis 49 and verse 3. Jacob, the old man, is dying on his deathbed, and he calls in his 12 sons, and one of them was named Reuben, and one of them was named Gad. And he prophesies over Reuben in verse 3, you are my father's firstborn, you are my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power is all over you, boy. Your potential is enormous. The plan that I have for you as your father, the plan that God has for you is absolutely incredible. You're excellent in power. God has dignity. God has promotion. God has favor that you can't even fathom. But watch this. Verse 4, but you've got character flaw. And he says, you're unstable as water. You will not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed and you defiled it when you went up to my bed. What in the world is that talking about? He's talking about, and that's the prophecy over him. And then I want you, while you're in there, to look at one more. Verse 18, Gad is a troop. He'll trample upon him. A troop will trample upon him, but he will triumph at the end. Well, what in the world is all of that about? I want you to see what's taking place. He said to his oldest son, Reuben, you're excellent in power. You have the DNA. You're strong. You're powerful. You're a mighty man. You're a leader. It's all over you. You've got those big old shoulders. You're excellence in power. You've got genetics that are incredible. You're my firstborn. You've got the double portion already pronounced on your life. Your future is incredibly, incredibly bright and unlimited. But the issue that I see, and this is a dad on his deathbed, and he's watched this boy all of his life who had all the natural stuff that he needed to excel. And then he says, but you're weak as water. You're weak as water. You couldn't even get your own girlfriend. You went up and slept in my bed with your stepmother because you're so weak in your character. God had, and I had a double portion life planned for you, but you're so weak, you can't take a stand. You're like water. You're weak as water. You pour water into a round pitcher and it goes round. If you pour water into a square pitcher, it becomes like the environment you put it in. water always runs to the lowest place. I don't care where you spray it, water will find the low place and go to it. And he said, you're just like water. Any environment you get in, you become just like it. You never take a stand. You never become your own. You're excellent in power. You could be incredible. You could be a leader's leader. You could have a double portion. You could be, oh son, I see excellence all over you. The DNA, the raw talent is there, but you don't have the discipline. You're weak as water. You get in an environment and you become just a piece of driftwood going with the flow. If you could just take a stand, I've watched you, son. Water has no will. Water has no strength. Water runs down to the lowest place. You take the path of least resistance. If they do it, you do it. If they party, you party. If they whatever environment you get in, you never stand up and lead. You're weak as water. Oh, son, you could be something great. You could be something powerful. You could be something amazing. You could be something outstanding. That's Reuben. He takes the path of least resistance. He's always doing something that's just going along to get along. You'll never excel. This is his father saying, you'll never excel. You'll always be C's and D's and E's, even though you were a star student if you'd have just got some discipline, but you like the grass more than you like God. Have you ever seen young people that had enormous potential, but they just get around the wrong crowd and they go with the flow and they're weak as water and they get into grass more than they do to God, and it takes their excellence and it takes their drive and it takes their potential and it takes the mighty things in their life and they just become a piece of driftwood. You'll never excel, son. You're lukewarm. You'll always get trophies for 10th place. I like that guy in the NFL who told him to take the trophies back for my boy. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But I like that guy because he understood that there's a difference. You're weak as water. You've got no strength. You've got no stamina. Every time you get around somebody else, you're just like them. You're just like them. You do good during the summer when you go to youth camp. You do good during forward conference. You do good when you get in, you know, around your Christian friends. But then you go to school and you get weak as water. And you just start doing stuff because you want to fit in, because you're weak as water. And water takes on whatever form of the container it's put in instead of being who it is. And being strong enough to say, the environment won't change me. If I have to, I'll remove myself from it, but I'm not going to waste my potential on stupid stuff and stupid people. You'll never accomplish anything. You're so spineless. This is his dad. You know, when your daddy says this about you, this is bad. You're spineless. You're mediocre. You couldn't even get your own girlfriend. You slept with your stepmother. You're average, you're inconsistent, you're not dependable, you'll never accomplish, you'll never excel. Wow. And then there's Gad. Now that was Reuben. Then there's Gad. Who was Gad? Gad was bad. I mean, as in, he was really bad. He said, a troop will overcome him, but he will overcome at the last. What does that mean? That means Gad is an overcomer. If you knock Gad down, you better kill him because he's going to get back up because he's bad to the bone. Gad is not a quitter. Gad is a fighter. And he was like the Terminator. If he got in a battle and you cut his arm off and his leg off, he would come crawling at you with half his face blown off. He would keep coming at you. And the Bible said, even though a troop will overcome him, in the end, he'll keep coming back. If you knocked him down, you better kill him because he's going to come right back at you. Gad had this thing that he will overcome in the end. The boy's got tenacity. The word Gad means I can do, or to be able. He just had a can-do spirit. He had this tenacity about him that, can you do this? I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Man, he just had the focus. I can do that. I can do it. He had that attitude. And if you knocked him down, he got back up and he was always on top, always overcoming. The spirit of a Gadite, I can do it. You had to kill a Gadite to get him off of you. He had his stuff together, so much so that the First Chronicles chapter 5 says this, and the Gadites separated themselves unto David. Behold, they were wilderness men, men of might, men of war, fit for battle, who could handle a spear and a buckler. And it says they had faces like lions and were swift as deer. They were deer lions. That's fierce. I see square-jawed, muscled up, cut up, strong strips of leather on their arm. When they got on their Harley Davidsons, they didn't hit a button. They cranked it with their leg like real men do. Come on. No hitting the button. These were real men, fighters, killers. Lion deer. Faces like lions. You know the difference between a predator and prey is prey, like rabbit and gazelles, they have their eyes on the side of their head because they're always looking for the prey. And so they're looking that way. But a prey animal, like a lion, his eyes are very close together because he's focused on the prey. And when it says they had faces like lions and they were swift as deer. I mean, my God, these guys, you didn't want to mess with one of them. If they got on you and you knocked them down, they'd get right back up and they're focused. Have you ever seen a lion really get focused? I preached with one time in an illustration, and I had a lamb and I had a lion, and that we didn't get to go over it before, and the lion was on a chain, and when I brought the lamb out, the lion got hungry, and when he did, he turned and whoosh. And when they focus, faces like lions. See, if their eyes are real wide on the side, they're probably prey. But look around, or they're probably predators. Look at the person beside you and see if you're sitting by a lion or a rabbit. Because if their eyes are together, they can focus. Faces like lions. Faces like lions. The Gadites had eyes that were close together so they could focus. I love it. I love it. This is what the Bible said about them. They had the strength of a lion. They could run like a deer. They were unstoppable. They kept getting back up. They were focused. It goes on to say in 1 Chronicles 12 and 14 that the weakest of the Gadites was worth 100 troops of regular battle men, fighters and warriors. The weakest. If you had a Gadite that had the flu and was running a fever, he was stronger than 100 regular warriors. And if you had a healthy one, it says he was stronger than 1,000 regular men. Good Lord, these guys were bad. Come on, turn to somebody and say, Gad was bad. He was a Gad. He was bad. And Gad was so powerful that one of those Gadites was worth 1,000 regular troops. I want to say even a weak Christian who's taking a stand and trying to serve Jesus is better than 100 normal people who aren't trying. A weak student, a weak Christian. And if you're a strong Christian, you're better than 1,000. 1,000 will go with the flow. 1,000 are weak as water. 1,000 do what everybody else does. But there's always going to be one who'll say, you know what? I'm not going to be like water. I'm going to be what God has called me to be. Anybody determined to be that one out of 1,000? One out of 1,000 will say no to the wrong party. One out of 1,000 will say, no, my body is not for you to molest and tell me you love me. I'm not going to do that. the weakest was worth 100 regular men. And the question is this, such a simple message. What in the world happened that the Bible records that the most fierce fighting force out of the 12 tribes was the tribe of Gad? Nobody could fight and nobody was more qualified to move into the promised land and take it than the Gadites. And yet when the day came to cross over, the Bible said that Gad and Reuben stayed on the other side. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They got out in the wilderness journeys. The tabernacle was set up. And somewhere in the mix, Reuben, the undisciplined, enormous potential, incredible chance, could be an A student, could have a scholarship, could have a life that would be astounding and fruitful and productive, but he liked the grass. He liked the party life. He liked the weak as water, and if everybody's sleeping with everybody, then I'm just going to be like the environment that I'm in on the campus. And he lost. Something happens when you start that stuff. Something happens to your drive. Something happens to your call. Something happens to your purpose. Something happens to your dream. And you just, I'm not going to class today. I like the grass. I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing it. I'm not going. I don't feel like it. I don't have to. I'm under pressure. And you get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and undisciplined and undisciplined and undisciplined. And before you know it, life and opportunity has passed you by. And here's the most powerful. Gadites started camping out at the campfire with the Reubenites. And I don't care how strong and powerful you are, if you want to know what your future holds, check out the kind of friends that you're hanging out with today. Because your friends today are a picture of your future tomorrow. And all they did was start getting, and when they would separate, the tribes would separate, they started separating and living around the Reubenites, these people who were weak as water, who would not excel. They hung out with them. They started skipping class with them. They started running with them and getting high. They started sleeping around, doing all the stuff, passing the joints around. And one day, one of them got weak and said, I'll take some and let's do it. And now, when it's time to cross over, the most qualified of all the 12 tribes has hung around low life so long. Because if you hang around with the wrong people, here's the deal. Get this part of the message. It's extremely rare that Gadites pull Reubenites up to where they are. It almost always, if you hang out with the wrong crowd, they begin, it may not happen overnight, but they will always pull you down to where they are. And here they are, they're not weak, they're strong, they're mighty, they can kill 1,000 men, one man, but they hang around the wrong people, the wrong crowd, in the wrong environment, and something in them dies. They lose the drive for the inheritance and the double life and the life more abundantly that Christ has for them. And something in them just settles and life passes them by. And it can all be pointed back to you made a stupid decision when you made Reuben your best friend. And I don't have time to play games no more. I'm 53 years old. And you don't understand how many times I've seen star athletes and people come into our church that had enormous talent and ability. And we've got kids in our church that if I started naming them, I'm just telling you, they win stuff. But if the thing we try to do is get in their head and say, who are you hanging out with? Because it doesn't matter how powerful you are. If you get around the wrong people, they're going to pull you down. It's going to happen. I don't care who you think you are. If you hang around with that crowd, it's going to pull you down. Who are you dating? Huh? Why, young lady, are you dating him again? You need to choose wisely. Well, you know, people, Pastor Franklin, you just don't understand. See, I'm going to change him. Listen, you see the best side of somebody before you marry them. You don't get the best after you get married. That's when it all hangs out. You are seeing the very best. That means if you're dating somebody and they're treating you like a dog, and they accidentally sent you a text that they were sending another girl because they got your numbers mixed up. Well, he just needs to get married, and then that'll fix him. If you can't stay right and monogamous when you're single, you sure can't do it when you get married. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. It's quiet in this Baptist church tonight. What are you doing? I want to say to young girls all the time, why are you? I see it all the time. You see them just, I'm telling you, some low life pull up to my house wanting to date one of the Franklin girls. Pull up riding dirty. My front door shaking because his subwoofers doesn't even get out of the car. He better be depositing something because he's not going to pick up anything and nobody's there for him. Is Connor home? Is Caroline home? Not for you. Oh, come on. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't get it. Why do you date a guy that when the bill comes for the meal, he slides you the check? What a deadbeat. What a loser. I see it all the time. We go to the movies. Me and Sharissa go to the movies and we see these young little couples and see these little got his drawers down, showing his drawers, his pants down here with his belt around like, and he walks like this. And she, when it's time to pay for the ticket, she pulls out the money. I'm like, what in the world, darling? Don't you gotta believe in yourself more than that. You're not so desperate that you got to take just anything. You gotta make wise choices, because if you date right, you'll marry right. If you date wrong, you'll marry wrong. It all starts in the dating. Make wise decisions. If he can't get his act together while you're dating him, he treats you ugly and is insanely jealous and you know, just domineering and controlling before you're ever married, nothing's going to change if you get married. Make wise choices. Weak as water. Man, I see kids all the time. The potential is enormous. They could be amazing. They could get full scholarships, but they get around the wrong crowd and they start dating the wrong girl, start dating a trap queen, which the Urban Dictionary said is a weed-smoking stripper. And that kid that has so much potential ends up weak as water, undisciplined, and now she's pregnant, and now the scholarship and all of that is not in play because I got to take care of this situation. I know this is too much for you. I know we're in Southern California, but I'm just trying to tell you that you make your choices and your choices make you. And you keep messing around with the wrong people and they're going to pull you down every time. And so let me close this little sermon. Make wise choices. This year, as you go back to school, boy, you need to hear next Sunday. Oh, you need to hear next Sunday, 9 and 11 a.m. You need to make, some of you guys and some of you grown-ups, are you kidding me? Do you actually think that the 30-year-old secretary with your old self, 55, 60-year-old, you actually think she wants you for your body? Really? I'm one of us, I can talk about us. Are you kidding me? That you are going to give up your family, your children, your grandchildren, the years that you have together for some little fling because she shows you the attention and makes you feel alive, and you seldom make wise decisions in ideal circumstances, unless you always have to make most of major life's decisions in less than ideal circumstances. And I've seen guys who, just when God was prospering, just when the business was exploding, they begin to choose God, Gad, and money and the spirit of the world over God. And all of a sudden, they've had an affair and the family's decimated. One decision. You make your choices. You make your decisions, you make your choices, and your choices make you. And you choose who your friends, your relationships, your business partners are going to be, and you need to pray and say, God, give me 20/20 vision in the Spirit, that I would not be deceived, that this year I would absolutely connect to people who are going to strengthen me, people who are going to help me. See, if the Gad had been with another partner, when they got weak, the good people who are supposed to be in your life will encourage you and say, man, you don't need to do that. Get your act together. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you smoking that cigarette? Are you stupid? You're 16 years old, and a good friend will say, they'll get all in your business. Put that down. You're going to get cancer. You're an idiot. You don't need to smoke a cigarette to look cool. That's what a good friend will do. But a bad friend will do, say, hey, while you got your lighter out, take a hit of this. What kind of friends are you? What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend do you have, and what kind of friend are you to other people? Do you influence them good or bad? Are you a Reubenite or a Gadite? Do you pull people up or do you pull people down because you come to church and play the game, but when you get out in the world, you're weak as water? Wow. Well, there is a friend. I got all kinds of friends. You don't have a friend like this. Because there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. He'll get you in the death grip of love. And he'll say, I don't care what anybody thinks about you. I'm for you. And I won't let you go. And you need to choose. Stand to your feet all over this room. And in Joshua 24, it said, choose this day who you will serve. Choose your friends wisely, and the greatest decision you can make is to choose Jesus. And I'm preaching tonight, I believe, a prophetic message that God, while I've been preaching, has been speaking to people all over this room about relationships that you're in, relationships that if you reconnect with, they will pull you back into the pit that God has brought you out of. And it's not that you can't be friends with those people. It just means you don't let them in your inner circle. Because God has a double portion life for you. God sees the DNA, His own DNA in you. And He says, you can be excellent. You can excel. You can have victory. You can dream and go into the promised land. But if you hang around the wrong people, they will stop you from entering your personal land of promise. Be careful who you hang around. Be careful who you link up with. It matters. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you would say, Jensen, I need a friend like Jesus. I need Him to save me. I need Him to change me. I need Him to cleanse me. I need Him to forgive me. I need a brand new life, a brand new start, I need brand new relationships in my life. I'm tired of who I am and what the enemy has done to my life. I'm ready for a change. I want to leave where I am and enter in to the promise that God has for me. I want to get saved. I choose Jesus. I want Him to be Lord of my life. Pray for me. He will not turn you away. The Bible said there's no greater love than a man has than to lay down his life for a friend. In other words, when you were a sinner, He called you His friend. Because He laid down His life for you. And He wants you to know that love tonight. Pastor, pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you are blessed.